that influencing stuff that you see and those people with those large followings, yeah, they're going everywhere, but it's just more like people are watching a show than really coming to you for expert travel advice.
Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast, hosted by Alan and Andrew of Insured Nomads. Join us as Alan and Andrew interview and explore the community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Tune in to incredible discussions with thought leaders each week that will help you take full advantage of the cross-border remote work lifestyle. Now, here are your hosts.
Welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. Here we are. We're going to be discussing another adventurous person. Matt joins us, Nomadic Matt, somebody who's been to more countries than just about anybody else we've had on the podcast, who's also helping people tour and see the world. We're going to catch up many things. And to be honest with you, Andrew, I love his 61 travel tips. Well, I'm sure we'll get to some of those conversations, but even conversations on weird food. When I was reading his blog and I was thinking, when I was in Cambodia and I had beef with black bean sauce and red ants, a lot of people had a cringe look, but it was actually marvelously tasty. And when I tell my wife that story to this day, she kind of decides to walk away. So there's some of us a little more adventurous than others. How about yourself, Andrew? Some of the adventures that we're going to share today. I'm sure you've had some strange foods, etc.
I have, but you know, the highlight of this really is having Matt on, you know, with the Nomadic Network, been exposed to it. But this is such a movement around the world with chapters in major cities all over, with such a group of loyalists, that it's going to be fun to dive into this, not just the locations and the people, but the movement behind it. And it's not an easy thing to start a movement. And this is a movement maker that we've got on today. So you guys who tune in every week, I'm just honored to introduce to you and welcome in Matt.
So Matt, welcome to the New Nomad Podcast. You've obviously started a movement, but how about every movement starts with an individual journey? So why don't you share a little bit about yourself, your individual journey, and how it led to where you are today and helping others understand, you know, how to travel this world?
Yeah, a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away, I worked in an office doing administration work for a hospital in Boston. And then I was doing an MBA at the time, too. I knew I didn't want to work in the hospital. I really didn't know what I wanted to do, but it wasn't that. So like all Americans, I was like, well, if I just go back to school and get a graduate degree, like that will solve my problems. But in the interim, I did go to Thailand on vacation with a friend. And while we were there, we met backpackers. And I never really met backpackers before. And they seemed to have figured this secret to life out, you know. They were traveling long term and they were doing it with very little money. And my friend and I were traveling on a budget, but that's because Thailand is cheap, you know, comparatively, yeah. Right? So, you know, we weren't even doing it backpacker. Like, you could just get a lot of value for your money back in, you know, 2004 Thailand. So I forced my friend to stay in like the backpacker area of Bangkok, Koh San Road, for a couple of nights. And we met some people and I really dug it. And we went to Koh Samui. And there I just decided, you know, I had a day to myself and I just really loved it. And I was like, I'm going to go quit my job and travel the world for a year. So I quit my job and I finished the degree. And then I went off. I had enough money to pay the loans for like a year. And I worked out all the numbers. And I was like, all right, I'm going to be gone a year and I'll come back. I'll live with my parents. I'll get a real job and get my house and 2.5 kids and the American dream. I came back 18 months later, completely broke with no direction in life. But I started a blog because I was like, well, travel writer seems like a cool job to get. Not that I was like in any way confident in my writing ability. I just wanted something to keep traveling one day more. So I worked on that in spring 2008. So we're actually April 1st, I really launched my blog. So we're coming up on 14 years and went back on the road and I never stopped.
Now, you wrote this blog, but you really, over that period of time, you mastered travel blogging. And I believe thousands, and I'm probably underestimating that, have gone through your course in travel blogging by this point now, right? If I were to speed up in time.
Yeah, we've had, you know, a few thousand people go through, maybe even more. You know, it's probably like five or six. So over, I mean, I started that program back in 2013. And so in some form or of another, it has existed. It's taken various shapes over the years, as projects do. But yeah, I would say that's about right.
So if I was just a layperson wanting to start a travel blog, just a couple helpful hints beyond coming to you, purchasing the program, because we do have people ask quite a bit. And I also love your blog, How to Travel the World on $50 a Day, and some of the different tips. Just somebody listening, what's a little taste of what they should consider?
You know, starting a blog or anything really in the travel space right now is so, so different than when I started. I mean, when I started, Facebook pages didn't even exist. You just had a blog. And then you'd submit your blog to those blog directories, and that's how people would find you. Nowadays, there's so many apps and social media programs. And I mean, there's just a whole bunch of stuff going on. I think, you know, one of the best ways to succeed is to be super focused on what you want to do. You know, I could be Nomadic Matt, general travel tips in an age where there were like 20 blogs. Nowadays, it's not really unique, right? You know, and it's much better to be an expert in one small place than it is to try to be, you know, a travel influencer going everywhere. Oftentimes that influencing stuff that you see and those people with those large followings, yeah, they're going everywhere, but it's just more like people are watching a show than really coming to you for expert travel advice. And shows are good, you know, they're inspirational, but the really informative stuff comes from, as my friend Clay says, don't look at me, but learn from me. And so creating a website where there's a learn from me aspect really helps if you're very niche now. And then I would also really try to pick one platform that you can own, whether that's Instagram, TikTok, or YouTube, or a blog. You know, don't try to just be everything.
Gotcha.
You know, because oftentimes now people just repurpose, you know, their TikTok videos to Instagram Reels, then to YouTube Shorts without really, you know, you got to give people a reason to be on that platform with you.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, I'm thinking about if I came to Costa Rica, you'd be the person I would look to given some of the content you've put out. Is that where you focused recently, or is there other locations that you find to be more interesting as you focus in on particular places?
I find lots of places to be interesting. Costa Rica is just one of the many, 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 many countries I have been to. I love Thailand. I have a strong affinity to the country since I lived there for so long. I mean, that was a place where I decided to quit my job to travel the world. I'm a big Francophile, spent a lot of time in Paris. Huge fan of Mexico, Australia, New Zealand, Japan. Ooh, big Japanophile too. So, you know, everyone always asks, what's your favorite country? And it's like saying, what's your favorite kid? You love them all equally, but for different reasons.
I'm totally
assuming you love your children. I don't have children, so yes. I don't know how that works.
Yes, I'm totally with you there. It's hard. It's like saying, "Oh, do you love it there?" Like, well, do you love it anywhere? One day it's an amazing place. The next day it's okay. I'm already planning the next. It's there's that thing when you spend time in a place, you take a piece of it with you, and you leave a piece of yourself behind. It's a thing of, I want to go back there because I left part of my soul there. So one thing I heard you say there was learn from you, not just listen and read and follow along, but learn from you. And one of the ways I think people can learn from you is you've got a Patreon program to where people can choose their level of expertise and subscribe to actually get more dense material to take their skills to the next level. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yeah, so we actually rolled off Patreon recently into our own program called Nomadic Matt Plus. And that was born out of the pandemic when, you know, all our revenue just disappeared. You know, we're trying to figure out what can we do to create a community experience and a community support system. And so originally we were on Patreon, as everyone does, but they have a lot of fees and there's limited ability to do a lot of things. And since I have my own tech guy, we realized we could basically create our own Patreon in-house, and that would give us more versatility and control over the experience. So we did that. And so being a Nomadic Matt Plus member gets you free guidebooks, monthly calls, a private Facebook group, early access to anything we do. So we launching tours, so they get first dibs on that, added discounts, exclusive travel discounts for a number of companies out there, as well as just content that's only available to them. So the goal is to create a community experience that gives them more information that we don't share elsewhere, as well as like free books and a sense of involvement in the community. You know, for example, you know, when we have site redesigns or you know, we're testing new things, they're the people that get to test this and decide how it's going to go.
That's amazing. So it's Nomadic Map Plus, and you hit on something that I know is powerful in your world, and really I participated in when was living in Rio, and that is the community platform that you've built, the Nomadic Network. Can you tell us more about that? Because having, you know, so many people look at InterNations and Facebook and all these different places, trying meetups, trying to find those people in the different cities they go to. Tell us what has happened over the last few years as Nomadic Network has taken such a strong shape around the world.
Yeah, you know, the Nomadic Network is born out of a desire to no longer be in a red ocean. I don't know if you know the book Blue Ocean Theory, but there's two businesses in the world. There's a blue ocean and a red ocean, two business environments. A blue ocean is something untapped, not a lot of competition. A red ocean, red because there's blood in the water, is a super competitive, saturated field. For me, that's, you know, trying to fight everyone and their mother in search results to, you know, rank number one for best travel insurance. So I wanted to do something that was different, that we had a competitive advantage on, and that was just more fun than optimizing keywords on blog posts day in, day out, right? So we created this idea of just doing events, you know. I'd always been fascinated by my friend Scott Dinsmore. He used to, when he was around, have this thing called Live Your Legend Local. And it was small chapters and meetups around the world of his reader. I've always been intrigued by that and how we created it. When I was thinking about how we take things offline, that was sort of the thing I was trying to emulate a lot, was what he built. And so we built this local chapters at like a meetup.com for travel as sort of a way to bring this online community we have offline and do something not a lot of people were doing and something we could do really well without having to, you know, sit behind a computer and really fight for views and pay, you know, eyeballs. And everyone likes to meet other travelers. Travelers are really a fun, sociable group. And so how we started it, and then of course, you know, it was right before the pandemic hit. So we went virtual and now we're starting to do in-person events again. But on the flip side of that, you know, people love these virtual events. And I don't think I ever would have thought about hosting virtual events had it not been for COVID. And even as we transition out of COVID and into real in-person events again, we are going to keep the virtual events.
I mean, it's interesting too that you're rolling out tours. So just a couple of quick questions. Tell us a little bit about, if I'm interested in joining you on one of your tours, where you're identifying, where the tours are going, a little bit about the people that are going. Andrew and I have talked about this a lot. The pent-up demand for actually in-person travel post-COVID is so immense. That is going to be like a fire hose opening up. Your thoughts on that too?
Oh, definitely. I mean, there was pent-up demand last year. I think as the Delta wave came late summer, early fall, that shut that door really quickly. I think if there had been no Delta wave, summer, fall would have been huge. Because early summer, people were like, I don't know, it's so crazy. But then, you know, by mid-July, cases had really collapsed. So I had hospitalizations and deaths, especially here in the States. And I think people were like, all right, let's get out there. Boom, there's like another variant. But I think after Omicron, and just I feel like everybody I know got Omicron, I think this year is really shaping up to be immensely huge in travel, especially as countries open again. I mean, Australia and New Zealand have reopened. Most of Southeast Asia is open. Japan will probably open soon. So I think just demand is crazy.
Matt, on that, you know, as travel is opening and people are thinking, okay, I'm going to go, people more and more are looking for time back in the community again. They're looking for immersion experiences with others, I think, rather than saying, you know, I'm going to go explore Prague by myself. They're thinking, how can I find a group and do this? You know, with Remote Year and Hacker's Paradise and these that have done this so well over the past decades, there's a new wave of it for these group immersion experiences. Do you think there's validity in that? And what are you doing in that regard? You're doing anything among the Nomadic Network and your ventures?
Yeah, I mean, we started our tours going to Europe because back in the day, I used to lead tours to Europe. So we're like, well, let's do Europe again in the summer. We've done these routes before. We know how to do them. Let's start there. They did not really go over well. And I think that is because AI wasn't leading them. And so before it was Europe with Matt. This was just Europe. You don't really need to go on a tour to Europe, you know? One is peak summer, nobody wants to Spain in August. So we've swapped those dates into the fall, and we've already seen a lot more interest. But we're also adding, again, based on feedback from our Nomadic Map Plus and TNN community members, Jordan, Turkey, Morocco, and Oaxaca. And a lot of people are excited about that. And so we're looking into September, October, November for all that stuff. So yeah, I'm going to be running a lot of tours during that time. But we're working with a company to, you know, for the guides and everything. So it's just not like me racing from tour to tour to tour. You know, we're working with an actual tour company to process it.
I think you hit upon something just by the naming of the countries. So to your point, I don't think people need a guided tour to London, Paris, you know, et cetera, because they feel very comfortable with those locations. You've mentioned Jordan, Turkey, and Morocco just off the top of my head. I've been to each one of those locations, and I come back and I say to the average American or the average non-big traveler, hey, I've been to Jordan, Turkey, Morocco, and they're like, whoa, that's so exotic. And it really isn't. We've all been there. You know what I mean? But you giving a tour will give people the confidence to go find out that when you go to Petra and the Dead Sea, this is a completely different experience than people think. I love it, the fact that you've picked some of the locations that I think an average person might see as a lot more exotic than the places that they're very comfortable with. And it just makes me think of, you know, one of the things I love is Rick Steves wrote a book called Travel as a Political Act. And it's all about getting different places, and that the average person tends to only go where they're comfortable or not leave the bubble. And what I think you're doing there is you're helping expand people in that comfort zone. Is that how you identified those countries? Or is it just kind of kismet that you're working with a group that has the capabilities to help you there?
A little bit of both. I mean, you know, the team and I were discussing where to go and, you know, where people are interested in. Morocco is one of those places. We were also looking for a destination that, you know, you only need like a week for, maybe 8 days. Jordan kind of fits in that. And so the company was like Jordan. Oaxaca, I love Oaxaca. I want to run tours there. You know, I think there's a lot going on there, and it's an easy, you know, it's 2 hours from the States. There's direct flights from Dallas and Houston and LA. You can do it in like 6 days. And then Turkey, they suggested Turkey. And I was like, oh yeah, let's do Turkey. That's another place. The goal is to also actually, you know, go back to Costa Rica and Thailand a bit to add those in. But those probably won't get added in until early 2023. There's only so many tours that can be run at once.
That's tremendous.
That's where we're going for that. Yeah. But I do would love to have, you know, maybe a 2 week Costa Rica and then like a 2 or 3 week Thailand. It's kind of long, but maybe like 2 weeks and then an add-on option for three if you want to do an extra.
Well, we got you, and you've somebody who's spent time in Costa Rica. To our audience, for people who haven't been there, the biodiversity, et cetera. Could you give a couple quick points of why Costa Rica is so awesome? Because I completely agree. I enjoyed the surfing and seeing the parrots, and the food was great and people are wonderful, but it is an incredible place to visit. And would love you to share with the audience your thoughts about Costa Rica as a destination.
The nature. People are really nice. I mean, it's really like Ticos are just a lovely set of people. Very happy, very welcoming. But, you know, you have great surfing, you have the biodiversity, you have mountains, you have waterfalls, you have incredible beaches, you have, you know, you go up to the Tortuguero and it's like their own little Amazon, right? With all the turtles up there, and you got to get around by boat, caves. It's just really great. And then, yeah, on the West Coast, you have the surfing and, you know, the whole hippie, you know, lifestyle thing and the yoga and all that jazz. Food's okay. I mean, I haven't been to Costa Rica in many moons, but I was never impressed with food. It's not like Mexico food, you know, where the food is just blows your mind. But, you know, it's pretty good.
Yeah, you say Costa Rica and Thailand. Alan jumped on Costa Rica. Here I am thinking Thailand and the diversity and, you know, spending a week in the mountains up near Chiang Mai, Chiang Rai, etc., you know, up north, and spending a week in Bangkok just because you got to. And then down in the beaches, whether it's Phuket or Hua Hin, you know, those places just definitely 3 weeks in Thailand just because of the diversity there. But the mango sticky rice, just the great food there, you know, just getting away from the tourist traps and immersing in some of those things. I light up with Thailand, where we each have these different places we gravitate to. And so it's fun to see some of these things happen as the groups group planning develops more and more with you guys.
So that leads us to our final segment, which I think we're going to get a really great answer, is we always ask our guests to name a overlooked person, place, experience that you think our adventurous nomadic audience might be missing. I know we hit upon quite a few areas here, but anywhere a little bit deeper in the archive, Matt, that you'd like to share with the group?
Overlooked? So much of the world is overlooked. I think Madagascar, terrible infrastructure there, but definitely overlooked place. I mean, it's difficult to get to, but it's worth it. Great biodiversity there. Something not so further afield, Oman, Georgia, Romania, Taiwan. I love Taiwan. I don't think it gets enough visitors. I mean, it gets a decent amount, but I still think it's sort of overlooked for other parts of East and Southeast Asia.
Okay. So, wow, my list just got expanded there. Where do you want people to find out more about you?
We'll include you can find many more
links in the show notes, but if there's one place and somebody's only listening to audio right now, they open their phone and open a tab, where would it be?
NomadicMac.com, my website. That's got everything. And then on all social network, we are at Nomadic Mac. So, if, you know, you type in Instagram and then Nomadic Mac, Pinterest, Twitter, whatever it is, at Nomadic Matt, you'll get me.
Fantastic. Thanks for joining us today. And I learned a lot. I also took a quote down, that you shared. Don't look at me, learn from me. I thought that was tremendous. Once again, a wonderful kind of overview. And also ask our audience as they look, you know, Matt's got some, tremendous things out the internet, like 61 travel tips, which I think are looking something for people to look at, packing list, traveling the world on $50 a day. I mean, the list goes on. We don't want to wax too poetic here, but we commend, Matt for getting this group of people excited about traveling. Andrew, your final thoughts today, as we took a little bit of a journey around the world. I tried to, during the podcast, write down all the countries named. I have a very long list today. Wonderful conversation.
Well, we're in luck. There will be a transcript. Those who are looking for links for books, for people, for places that were mentioned, the Nomadic Network, etc., just scroll on down and you'll see those in the notes. If you're not listening on Spotify or something like that, they're right here. If you are, just go to thenewnomad.net and you'll see everything that we've been talking about today. You know, this is one of those things where I need to go to his sites more often, because the information that he and his team put out really just spur me. I want to check out the travel guides. I'm going to a new country here pretty soon. Matt, that's one to where I actually hope we get to meet in person. We'll be at Running Remote. So I've actually never been to Canada, and it will be in Montreal. So even more of a special city for Canada.
I will not be at Running Remote, but have a blast.
Yeah.
And that's a wonderful
Montreal
city.
Montreal is
be a good one.
Yeah.
So this is one of those things where I come out of this conversation thinking, okay, I need to turn to his resources more frequently.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for our listening audience. Once again, the New Nomad's not a podcast. It's a community of people, ideas, and spirit. So we really want to keep you traveling. Look forward to hearing from you next week. Enjoy and travel safely. Cheers.
Cheers. Thanks for having me.
Insured Nomads proudly supports the New Nomad podcast. Insured Nomads, for the evolution of insurance, for the revolution of travel. For all your travel, medical, and support needs, please visit our website at insurednomads.com. We support our location-independent community worldwide.
Thanks for tuning in to the New Nomad Podcast, where we bring together an incredible community of people and ideas that embody the nomadic spirit. Please remember to subscribe and leave a review. For more amazing tips to help you take advantage of the cross-border lifestyle, please visit us at insurednomads.com/podcast. See you next week.